I don't know. So pretty much sums up. They're still going to make shitloads of cash. It's all a bit of nitpicking, really, I think, looking into all that stuff. With their expansion and the mine they've got and the hard work they've put in to date, either way, they're going to reap the benefits and make a lot of money. In regard to the capital management policy...
Well, this is like... sorry to interject here, but it reminds me of whenever you get a graduate, like investment banker in, and the director asks them to take...
Below graduate.
Take notes of the meeting, and they fucking record everything the person has said. They take the full notes. It takes a while before you're like, okay, I'll hit the high points. Comprehensive dive of the entire earnings call. I love it, mate. Who needs a transcript when you got Matty Michael?
There's the bits I didn't take down, which I didn't understand. So I left them bits out. Righto, g'day, money miners. What a setting for our last little home jobby, Trav.
Mate,
I think it's going to be the last one.
It's a momentous occasion today. I think it is our last day filming. And I mean, who knows what happens in the future, but we've got an exciting new studio to go to. And, we thought we'd go out with a bang by actually doing something a bit different in the way that we give today's podcast. We're less prepared than ever, and we've got a more engaging setting than ever.
Oh, no. Well, it's all in preparation for... Are we giving it away? Not yet.
I can build up the suspense.
Build up the suspense. There is potentially a big interview coming next week, which we're recording after this. Mm. It's a big dog. It's a big dog, an enigmatic character, I'd say. That's all I'll give away.
And it's not our usual... style of discussion. It's going to be very centered around one specific topic, something that we're quite passionate about. We've spoken at length over the past 4 months, so I am super excited to bring that one to the money miners.
Oh, wait. God, they won't be able to bloody sleep all weekend, the money miners, knowing this. Right, let's get now, talk about a different prep. You boys have been prepping for that episode, and I've been on the Pilbara Minerals investor call. So talk about, like, and as you said, Trav, probably a bit of a proud dad moment for you. It'd be like me watching you put a fucking split set in with a jumbo.
Which I will do one day in front of you. I'd love to do that. But yeah, mate, I was sitting at the other side of the room with JD just writing some some notes for, you know, the interview we're about to do. And I hear that tone that happens when you dial into these investor calls and you get like the auto voice that tells you that the call is starting now. I was just like, wow, I'm bloody Matty dialing into an analyst call. This is special.
I think it's bloody awesome, Matty. I think, you know, 95% of investors don't do enough research on the stocks they buy, and they just put a random punt in. And you actually, you know, weighing them up. Obviously, we've spoken with Dale, who runs the show at Pilbara in the past. But I think it's a great step, you know, and people should be doing more of it. They should be getting on and tuning in and understanding what they're putting money in and the people running the show there.
And it's always the extra colour you get from the questions from all the research analysts that aren't provided by the company. Yep. They ask the hard-hitting stuff. So,
you notice how
and
they
it's
ask
all free. Just follow the bloody links in the announcements, everyone.
Yeah. When you listen to enough of them, Matty, you'll pick up on the intro to the question. There's always like a bit of a compliment. It's sort of like a little bit...
Oh, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate the opportunity, but I want to fucking ask about this.
There's a lot of cocksucking on those calls.
Oh, yeah. Righto, boys, let's get into it. First, we've got to thank our great mates at Anytime, Anything, Anywhere Exploration. It's just Anytime Exploration Services. Our foundation sponsor, thanks, Seamus, for supporting Money of Mine.
Cheers, Seamus.
Core cutting, people, machinery, anything to do with finding a bloody ore body. Give Seamus a call.
Anytime and anywhere?
Anytime, anywhere, anything.
Anything.
Reports they are in North America, so anywhere. Right, boys, let's get into it. Pilbara Minerals chucked out their
annual
announcement
results.
That they made another shitload chunk of cash. but isn't it funny, they've made shitloads of cash. They've got $3.3 billion, but they still get semi-critical questions put to them. No. Can't win everything. Can't win every battle, can you?
Yeah, I think like these earnings like reports, it's all about, they're all future looking. The market's reaction is more future looking. It's not about what your performance necessarily was, because a lot of the times that's baked in, but it's the market really reads into what any indication of the future is. So sometimes you can have a stellar year, and then you sell down afterwards because the market's always forward looking.
Exactly. So we'll go through the results. Look, because they're down 7.5% today. They were earlier. JD, you mentioned that, look, a lot of lithium was down today. Not down as much as that.
Azure off 6% as well. Sayona, a bunch of other names. Patriot, they're all off 5% and 6%. So
okay. So it's probably pretty pretty expected for what the market's doing today. So they look at where Pilbara is sitting. This is going to be a YouTube heavy sort of episode. I've got pictures everywhere, Joe. You wouldn't like these notes because there's pictures and shit. It's not, you'd bloody hate the pictures. Puts you off, doesn't it?
Mate, I love the pictures in the YouTube. I think it's awesome, and I think the feedback we've had for it is really great.
Well, you look at their the resource graph here. So they're in terms of lithium. Contain lithium, they're nearly as big as Greenbushes now with their resource.
They've
got more tons, just lower grade. So look, it just shows what they've got this project to now with their resource and reserves. It is, as you can see by the cash, world class. Right. Financial highlights, look, they've really ramped up in compared to FY22. Like everything's been multiple 100% increases in revenue, EBITDA, production and everything. So she's really flying and we're going to talk about, I guess, their plans for the P680 and P1000, where that's heading and what their CapEx guidelines are towards that. So look, as I said, cash $3.3 billion, and they distributed 14 cents for a dividend. So total for the year, 25 cents per share. So you'd say essentially a 5% dividend coming out of Pilbara Minerals based on the share price. So investors starting to get a bit back, and they said that, we'll go into it later, I think that 20 to 30% of free cash flow is going to be guided to be distributed as dividends.
So part
of their capital management policy.
Exactly. They came out with a capital management policy sort of late last year. I think we touched on that with our discussion with Dale. And to your point, Trev, they were looking to update that.
Yeah, I think the read through from our interview with Dale is that they're just trying to preserve optionality with what they're going to do with that cash. They're not averse to giving it to shareholders. I think they are conscious of wanting to use it for inorganic growth, i.e. M&A, but at the right price. And so for them, if they can kind of kick the can down the road and hold on to the cash a little bit longer, do they have a view that maybe the lithium market could cool? And if that happens, developer valuations are a lot cheaper and you don't have to pay so much when you want to acquire your next growth project. So I think they're waiting, kind of not really hoping that the lithium market cools, but from an inorganic growth perspective, they kind of are.
And we're at a really interesting point in time in lithium prices as well. We saw that huge uprise throughout 2021 on the back of them picking up, Altura. And then that's obviously led to the bumper profits they've had over the past couple of years. But then late last year, prices came off and then they've sort of kicked up and they've steadied a bit. So it's a bit of a, looking around, we saw the Chinese new futures contract for lithium, and that had a tough first day coming off 15-odd%. So it's an interesting point of time, and the team, Dale and the BD guys, we sort of, I reckon, holding on and just thinking, if we can just buy a bit more time here and see where this thing's going, then we'll, like your point, Trav, preserve that optionality and where to take the business in the future.
There was an interesting tweet today from Trevor Yang, highlighting the Pilbara Minerals $2.4 billion profit for FY23. Now, considering this $2.4 billion has come from, one piece of land, one mine, Coles only made $1 billion profit. Wow. Look at how many fucking Coles there are around the country. So, and the effort it goes to run them and the size of the operation. So it just shows what those profits are from the piece of land that they achieve them from. It's pretty remarkable. So the cost they're doing at this, like they realised an average price of $4,447 US a ton, and unit operating cost I think their underlying operating cost of around 700 Aussie a ton.
So, which makes me think
includes the waste stripping and everything. So the margin on that isn't that unbelievable?
Phenomenal EBITDA margin.
You know what it makes me think, Maddie, about how analysts value these businesses? Resource businesses always get marked down because they don't have a terminal value when you do the NPV analysis. But with the resource upgrade, the mine life is just decades and decades long.
Is it 37 years, I think they quoted in it?
It's a bit different to an industrial type of business or like a Coles where you don't have, a mine life ending. But in the case of Pilbara, this thing's going to be around for a long time. Obviously, the big contingent factor is what the commodity price is going to be.
Yeah, and it's I think you only have sustainable high margins in resources when you have market power, i.e. you're one of very few producers. Sometimes you want even a monopoly.
First mover.
Yeah, do the old Standard Oil trick and get 90% of the market. Exactly. Then you can control what the price is.
Then you can have sustainable, insane margins. And you know, rightfully traded a great premium in those circumstances.
The commodity companies are, by definition, price takers.
So. Yeah, yeah. It does depend if they have, like, you know, like, let's say there was, like, in the case of niobium, right, CMBB have... They're ultimately price setters because they control 90% of the production.
Yeah.
And so in those circumstances, when you have sufficient market control of the rock that people need, you're a price setter, not a price taker. It just depends on the market dynamics.
And for reference, I think Pilbara said in their presentation that they produced 8% of the world's lithium.
Oh, wow. Not unbelievable. It won't be there for long, but it's pretty impressive. This year they produced 620,000 tons of spod. Pardon me. I think that was 5.2% spod. So they're progressing towards that P680 level, which is, I guess, the guidance they have set.
And they're supposed to hit on a quarterly basis, hit that nameplate quite soon.
Yeah. So it's scheduled for, I think, ramp up to end of Q2. FY24. They did make some comments in the investor call. It's sort of erring, not conservative, but erring on the side of caution with their guidance, just because of that potential ramp up issues that you will see with any commissioning process. Even though the P680 is only adding 100,000 ton of spod capacity, obviously the big one's going to be the P1000 when that comes along. And you just look at this graph here of their cash build quarterly, just to show how rapidly it has got up to that $3.3 billion. So
it's prudent, right? Though under promise, over deliver.
And so look, their guidance for FY24. So they've got 660,000 to 690,000 tons of spod. So that's for a 5.2%. So that's up from the 620 they produced this year. And considering they produced 377,000 ton in FY22, so it's been a pretty good ramp up to where they are now. So they do note here, because Dale did mention they expect to benefit from some better head grades this coming year. So they did put it in the bottom here on a SC 5.7% basis, that would be 600,000 to 630,000 tons of spod, but you get a much higher price if they do achieve that. So there is a potential head grade uplift based on where their mine plan optimization and everything's going.
So they quote it in a 5.2% equivalent for the guidance.
Yeah, so unit operate. There was plenty of questions on the unit operating costs. So they've guided $600 to $670 per dry metric ton for FY24. I think they achieved $630 last year. So
that's Aussie dollars. 600, to be clear.
Yeah, Aussie dollars. $613. But they said that increased by 11%, reflecting, I guess, the pre-investment in mining and maintenance for P680 and P1000 and just the general inflationary pressures. So they've still got that high because of what's going on with the P680 and P1000. So growth CapEx, they've got between 490 and 540 million for FY24. So obviously that's going into the expansion. But Dale did say in the investor call that, I think his 2IC said, some growth CapEx for P1000 will still flow into FY25. So not all the P1000 growth CapEx will be for this year. There will be some that will flow into next financial year. So but they're not given any FY25 guidance yet.
Okay, so that $515 million as a midpoint of the growth CapEx, the majority of that will go to P1000 because P680 is majority done.
Yep.
But that's not the entirety of the capital that's needed to...
Bit more to go. And then they've got because they've made shitloads of cash, unfortunately they've got to pay tax, the poor bastards. So, God, you'd think all the jobs they give and all the taxpayer dollars from the employees, that'd be enough.
It's a good problem to have.
So they've got a tax bill of
seven. It's like a bit of an outlier, a company that has to pay tax.
This is a frickin' humdinger, $773 million for FY23 tax payments. They're expecting to pay that in half one FY24. So it's obviously going to impact their ending cash position. And so with, I think, Canaccord come out today, Mr. Timmy Health highlighting that, you know, the $3.3 billion they got at the moment, take away that income tax payment plus the growth capex and everything, I think they're going to end, predicting they'll end next year with about $2.4 billion. So cash position's going to be down, but still in a sensational position to fund the remaining capex and distribute dividends, part of the whatever that capital management policy will be, which they're going to give a bit more colour on in the coming months, they said. So they're still in a great position to fund everything and distribute back to shareholders. So,
hold on, mate. Have you got more? I've got those in front of me.
And look, I'll just show the where they talked about this capital management update. So, look, they said they includes, I guess, the framework, it says, was announced in November 2022. I think it's, as you said, it's all going to be finalised in the coming months. Their target dividend payout ratio of 20 to 30% of free cash flow. And as I highlighted here, the company continues to consider both inorganic growth opportunities, depending on risk returns and further capital returns to shareholders. So look, as I said, they've got the optionality to do whatever they bloody want. And they've got they've got extra liquidity with their loan facilities as well. They've got a $250 million facility with the Australian government, another $113 million part of the US dollar secured syndicated debt facility. So there is extra liquidity.
Yeah, some of that is tied to the CapEx. So the NAIF funding is tied to the because that's Northern Infrastructure Fund, Northern Australian Infrastructure Fund. So that's got to go into their Pilgangoora growth plans.
They've drawn $106 million of that from a $253 million.
That'll keep coming down as the CapEx is developed there. The other low-cost debt that they have is, I believe, tied to their joint venture development with POSCO over in Korea. So that's I think it's an export credit agency sort of low-cost debt.
And a portion of that funding as well was for the $100-odd million that needs to go to the midstream production facility that they're final investment decision on a few weeks back and want to have up and running within a year and a half.
Yeah. It's because it's their undrawn liquidity it's 146 mil, which is a piss in the ocean compared to how much cash they got.
Their potential their debt capacity is a lot higher than those latent facilities. They could given the cash flow and they could really gear up if they wanted to get a new facility if the right acquisition came on board too. It'd be piss for them.
I guess some comments during the webcast from all the research gurus and from Dale and the rest of the team, they did ask about, capitalised waste development for FY24. They highlighted it's going to be about $140 to $160 million. So obviously the unit operating costs that they're running at is benefiting from the pre-strip CapEx. So capitalised waste development is the pre-stripping. So that equates to about an extra, I guess, $220 a ton for this year's figures based on their pre-stripping. So you look at the underlying cash cost for FY24, you can predict to be about $800 to $900 a ton. If you include it's like putting a decline in.
Are you costing that all in the 1 year instead of, because I think the way that they flow it through in these all-in sustaining costs is they'll
over the life of the mine.
Yeah, they'll amortise it, so it's not, you don't realise it all in that one.
That was based on just all in the 1 year.
Yeah, it's rare that you get the pay because it's a capital thing. You can amortise it over
the
life of
the mine. It'll be amortised over the effective period in which its value is sort of reaped.
They're still bloody profitable. So
that's why I couldn't get the numbers to add up. Because they attributed this year, the analysts, based on the waste capital, the pre-stripping cost, they reckon it was about an extra $200 a ton on top of the unit operating cost.
Okay, maybe that is an amortized fee.
Dale, as I said before, he mentioned that they should benefit from a stronger head grade in FY24 from the next phase of mine plan optimization. So they're hoping to benefit, not a promise, but hoping to benefit from that high head grade. And as I said, leaning on the side of caution with their, I guess, run rate based on the P680 ramp up at the end of the quarter and the P1000 capex to flow in FY25. And in regard to the capital management policy.
Well, this is like, sorry to interject here, but it reminds me of whenever you get a graduate like investment banker in and the director asks them to take notes of the meeting and they fucking record everything the person has said. They take the full notes. It takes a while before you're like, okay, I'll hit the high points. And this is the comprehensive dive of the entire earnings call. I love mate, it, mate. Who needs a transcript when you got Matty Michael?
There's the bits I didn't take down, which I didn't understand. So I left them bits out. So they said in regards to that capital management policy, they said they obviously try to maintain that they have a minimum liquidity balance to maintain, but there is the opportunity for a one-off capital management initiative for shareholders, and they'll come to the market in the coming months with that. So either a buyback or a dividend distribution. Now, and strip ratio, they were talking about that. It's obviously lifted from about 5 up to about 7.6. They reckon it's going to be slightly elevated for the next couple of years, ramping up to P1000 and likely average about 7-1 over the long term. So no point going to see Dale today. You pretty much talked to him via money of mine. That is everything he said.
Well done, man. That was nice and comprehensive.
Well done,
great.
Mate. That's so very impressive.
It's refreshing to talk about a company that's making money, got growth options on the table.
Yeah.
It's if you do ever need to go on holiday, I am semi capable of doing it. It's not as good as when you boys do it, but look, it's we go back to reserve grade a bit.
I like it, mate. That's good. You've done well.
And talk yourself down, mate.
You did better than I do talking about mining. Like, imagine that. That would be I'd be useless.
Yeah. So pretty much sums up. They're still going to make shitloads of cash. It's all a bit of nitpicking, really, I think, looking into all that stuff. They're with their expansion in the mine they've got and the hard work they've put into date, they're going to reap the benefits and make a lot of money. It feels a lot of it is so nitpicky because they're just making so much money.
The question mark is just valuation, right? Everyone knows they're printing cash, but the question mark is just valuation. I think, you know, that all depends on your view on long-term lithium price, and it's just a hard thing to predict. So,
but do you think, like, looking at the stock, like, if you say we've got a stock here, they've got shitloads of cash, plenty of growth options, and they're going to be distributing a 5% dividend?
Like, if you were to model this company, the biggest driver of value is not the growth options, none of that. The biggest driver of value is lithium price long-term.
Yeah,
like, and that it's so sensitive to that. Mm. So it's like that's just a hard thing to predict.
Right, boys.
Yeah.
You've got anything you want to... you got your top tweets, eh, Trav?
Top tweets, yes.
Trav's top tweets. Oh, I've got... We're too far from the buck. Put it in now.
Trav's top tweets.
What do you got?
All right, mate. Trav's top tweets. Are we ready? Okay, so top tweet number one goes to... it's actually number four because I do it in reverse order, remember, guys. This one's to Mining Catalyst, at Mining Catalyst. He simply just retweeted an existing tweet. And the initial tweet, I'll read out the tweet that he's retweeted. The tweet he's retweeted is from Junior Mining Network and it says, Novo's ASX IPO offer oversubscribed. Offer period closed early. So Mining Catalyst retweeted that and said, this is why we can't have nice things, which I found very funny because he's obviously just making a bit of a jab at the company Novo Resources Corp, which is TSX listed. They've got the project up north, which
up in and around Degray.
Yeah, Degray have actually Degray have invested in it.
I think the Degray investment is the sort of intriguing element to Novo these days, but Novo's been a pretty malign stock for a long time. I think it came off all the way from $800 million market cap down all the way to sub 100. So it was a big fall from grace and it was a very hyped stock over on the Canadian markets. And there was a story that went along with this stock that the gold that appears in their project came from, you know, it all used to be underwater and the gold was in the water. And the geologist there had some wacky story about the gold that a lot of normal conventional geologists say is just BS. But
there's a book on this as well.
There's a book called, oh my God, there's a cult following behind this stock. And anyway, at one point in time, they acquired a mill from another company nearby that went broke and they started processing some gold and they just kept losing money from it. So the stock's come off a long way. And the challenge with the gold that they had there is you didn't really have a good idea of how much was there until you started mining it. It was one of those ones where, what's it called when the gold's a bit nuggety and spread out and it's, I can't remember the name for it, but there's some name for it. Where
alluvial?
A money miner will correct me, but I think Novo being a WA-based company, the plans to be listed on ASX has been probably in the works for a while, but I imagine it's been challenging given it's one of those. And I think they also did something at Diggers one year where they did a live cut and they showed these watermelon seeds that like this was back in the day where people were showing off like little watermelon seeds of gold. And it was in the Pilbara. I don't know if you guys are aware of this one, but it had a trend and this was getting capital markets excited for a brief period of time until people realised you can't economically mine those watermelon seeds.
Oh.
Anyway, so I find that one interesting. Go do a bit of a deep dive on Novo Resources if you ever get intrigued.
Trav.
G'day, mate. We've lost Maddie.
We have, but we've got three more top tweets to get through.
There's three more tweets. And are you ready for them, mate?
I am.
They're pretty funny.
All right. Number three.
Number three, top tweet of the week goes to, this is actually Twin Turbo Silica. So it's at Twin Turbo Silica, but with the L is spelled with a one in case you're trying to find him on Twitter. He tweets, "I'm sorry, Nimmy, a con note is not a cornerstone investment. It's an ugly financial product that tends to lead to a death spiral for shareholders. It's usually the avenue of last resort. Hashtag just saying." And Twin Turbo Silica has taken a screenshot of Nimmy's ASX announcement. They headline this announcement: "Nimmy Resources secures $2.5 million cornerstone investment to conduct nickel and lithium drill programs." Nickel and lithium drill programs, JD, but the investor is none other than Lind Global Fund, LP, an institution managed by New York-based Lind Partners.
Do you remember the last time we spoke about them, Trev?
I think I remember Lind popping up with Novare.
Yes.
Which, of course,
they're not in such a sweet spot at the moment.
He's in administration right now. And it's curious, right? Because it's sort of pitched as a cornerstone investment. And then you see the terms of this con note, and what Twin has you know, rightfully highlighted is there's a variable subscription price at 90% of the average of the five lowest daily VWAPs during the 20 days prior to the subscription. So basically, this fund can, you know, gradually invest $2.5 million over time, but they're always getting this discount to the lowest of the five daily VWAPs of the last 30 days. So it's going to always be at a really attractive discount for them.
To make this crystal clear, that is not normal. Con notes are normally done at a price above what the share price is.
Well, the conversion is normally above. This is an equity line of credit in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
This is basically saying that they'll invest in a pseudo placement of some description, but they've got a trailing ability to do so. Either there's like a few different terms, but there's part of it is linked to this variable subscription price. And the really curious part of it is, though, right? Like, if you're this investor, if you're this fund, and you can always sort of buy gradually at this discount to the discount of the last 30 days, then is your actual, like, are you actually a long-term holder, or are you going to be arbitraging that by the moment you buy at a discount, you're actually selling some more that you own? And I think that's the kind of the death spiral dynamic the Twin might be speaking to. I can't see any sort of, you know, escrow terms linked on this announcement. So I'd be very curious to know if the real play from here is for Lind to become a cornerstone investor, or if it's actually just to arbitrage at the expense of existing shareholders.
Just speaks to the state of the exploration and developer sort of market, doesn't it?
It does indeed. Top tweet number two of the week, mate. Are you ready for this one? This is a good one. I quite like this one.
What have we got?
This goes to Legolas 94 at Legolas.
Friend of the show.
He's a funny guy. He does like to poke us on Twitter, I think, this guy. He's quite funny though. I'll give him credit for making some pretty funny jokes, and this is one of them indeed. There's a thread involved here, but the thread's not super important. He tags Sayoni, he tags PMET, and he says, "Quick, someone tag the famous Brazilian podcasting artist, Travis Ricardinho. We have a shorting and long magician on our hands." he's basically taken a screenshot of two of Bilo Salhaia's tweets. One where he's I think what he's getting at is Bilo Salhaia often tags me in a lot of his tweets to grab my attention. It works. But he's taken the mickey. I quite like being called a Brazilian podcasting autist. It's he calls me famous as well, so I'll take that one.
Yeah, I don't mind Ricardinho as well.
Ricardinho. It's a great footballer name, isn't it? Okay, all right. Top tweet number one, mate. This one goes to a genuine true friend of the show, Mr. Emmanuel AJ Datt. You had a brilliant conversation with him in Melbourne. I'd love listening to that one. And
I sure did last week. Go and listen to it if you haven't. It was a great chat.
Great chat. You didn't crack any jokes, mate, but it turns out...
I don't have the same humour that Maddie does.
And not only does Maddie have the humour, but Daddy has the humour as well, because he's made a funny joke on Twitter. I quite like this one. Remember when we talked about the Terrors results, their full year results that came out? And we did a bit of a deep dive into that royalty
EBITDA
company.
EBITDA margin, right?
Massive. But curious. We talked about the dynamics of a royalty company where you don't have to do much. You just put your feet up and take the check and, in their case, distribute it back out to shareholders.
I think one of the best stats that sort of emphasises that is the revenue and the profit per employee. It's phenomenal.
It's an amazing benefit of that business model. In fact, the number of employees is something that Emmanuel AJ Datt points out. He's taken a screenshot of, in their results. They say that they've got 8 employees there at Deterra, and then he's also taken a screenshot of the breakdown of expenses by nature. And what he's taken, he's put a square around in red, looking at the total operating expenses, employee benefits and expenses, 4.2 million, other expenses, 4.3 million for total operating expenses of 8.5 million. His comment is very, very funny here. So that's 8.5 million for 8 employees there. And he goes, rumor has it, the office furniture at Deterra Royalties is gold plated.
How do we get a gig there, Trav?
Oh, mate. Yeah, please. If you're hiring Deterra, we'd love a job. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Very interested. And mate, that rounds it out. That's
it. Perfect.
Top tweets of the week.
Love it.
It's the weekend, mate. It's Friday. Got any plans? Gonna have a beer?
It's the old man's 60th birthday.
60th birthday. Yeah. Oh, pass on my happy birthday wishes to him.
I sure will, mate.
Yeah. Bloody wicked.
Perfect. And for those wondering, Maddie's gone to do the hard yards. Around a golf with
business development.
With the corporate partners.
He is. He's doing it with JP Search guys. So good on you, Maddie. I don't know how to play golf and I'm really not interested in learning either. So.
Good on him. All right, Trav, Hoodaroo, mate.
Hoodaroo, mate. And thanks to all the other partners, JP Search.
Anytime Exploration Services, Terra.
Top Drill, K-Drill.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for the support.
Hoodaroo.
The information contained in this episode of Money of Mine is of general nature only and does not take into account the objectives, financial situation or needs of any particular person. Before making any investment decision, you should consult with your financial advisor and consider how appropriate the advice is to your objectives, financial situation and needs.